a poor man
Blog
of
Talk
one
Radio.
Okay? Within it.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Live, Yahweh's radio, top part of the Sabbath day. Worldwide. International radio broadcast, Top Pod and Sabbath Day, is now on the air. I'll be your host for the Top Pod and Sabbath Day by name, your Seer, Israel of Seed Royal. All right, this is the Top Pod and Sabbath Day, and the memo's coming in. And all the camps is ready to go from South Carolina, 6, Maryland, 5, Detroit, 4, 3, Kankakee, 2, Springfield, 1, Chicago. All the camps is ready to go. So if you within 70 miles, call for details on the international line and get in where you fit in at. Because in Hosea chapter 6, it tells you you're in the last days. After 2 days, let me see if I read that. How you got that verse in the book of Hosea? He made a statement in Hosea the seer. Let's see what he says in Hosea chapter 6. He made a profound statement in Hosea chapter 6. And I'm going to see if we bring it up. Live broadcast the third month, the 22nd day, 2024. This is a live Top of the Sabbath Day class. And Yahweh be with y'all. The international side is packed to the max. Over 900,000 strong on the international side and podcast. You know, I got to find out, because podcasts have been lining up by coming in. The podcasts have been joining in to this broadcast, but I don't have the numbers on podcasts. We know on the international side of this broadcast is over 900,000, but you also got podcasts. And they carry the broadcast live, too. But I don't have the numbers on there yet, so I'm going to check with podcast to give me a count of the numbers that is piling up in Yahweh's Voices of the True Israelites. They're piling up all over the country. And like I said again, and we got a lot of big things on the table. You know, Camp 2 is just around the corner, you know, and a lot of things around the corner. So we got to get in where you've been in at. Everything's in the makings. And one thing about this ministry, It's not going to stop this ministry long. We keep the four-letter man in front of us, YHWH, and we're going to free our peoples in the mind about everything they need to know to help themselves, to help others, and those that come when they stand before you. Like we've been doing a series, last couple of tapes, what happens after death? What happened once you shut it down? What happens? What really happened according to after death? What happens to that body? What happens after death? We've been teaching on that for the last two series, I mean last two lessons, and prayerfully we might teach a little bit more to get you prepared about exactly what happens after death. Probably touch on that a little bit more. But one thing about it, get in where you fit in at. Try to learn as much as you can, fast as you can. Because this ministry right here is going to take care of all the business and dust as Yahuwah. So on the international side, it's over 900,000 strong. And on podcast, I don't know the total number on podcast that's carrying this broadcast. But I'll find out later on. All right, good enough. So this is Sabbath day, this day the Almighty has made for me and you. So remember one thing, we got to keep these days. And we got to reverence these days, the Sabbath day. And once we start doing that, we're going to stable our brains to understand this day.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay, so what path or religion are you
mm-hmm.
in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any scripts.
Friday night sundown
to Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
Before we even take the job or go down the road, here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
is
the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off.
Yes.
Which, may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's right.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here. But I have to have
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was
weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally, it feels like he's speaking to me, you know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know, you just go in and you land, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, No, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
after
job.
I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet, tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet, tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right. The Sabbath day is very important, especially for the children of Israel, the Israelites. Live top of the Sabbath day. Today's date is 3/22/2024, Sabbath day, and we've been teaching on the last two lessons about what happens after death, and we want to continue on it because we have one of our great leaders in one of the camps have passed. And we want to be sure that you understand exactly what happens after death, what to look for, and everything. Remember one thing, the six anointed camps have to know exactly pertaining to death and everything else. We must know. We got to be biblically inclined about what happened to death and everything about it to be able to teach it and live it. So we got Mother D of Israel came on the broadcast, and remember, this is a live broadcast, top part of Saturday, 3/22/2024, and we're going to do a little bit more teaching on what happens after death, getting you prepared for it according to the Bible. What do we do, and how do you respond after death? Of a close one, or you doing a eulogy or whatever. You need to know the facts. And what we're going to do is touch on a little bit more in part three. This is part, we've done one and two, and we'll do part three, and we're going to proceed with bringing Mother D of Israel to help assist in part three. What happens after death? What happens after death, part number three? So, Mother D of Israel says, yeah, I holler in that microphone, and I'll do the best I can. And that's what it's all about. So, Mother, let's talk about it. Mother D of Israel, Yahweh bid you to see Royal.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother D of Israel. And that's what I like. I like those step to the plate and take care of Yahweh's business. Yahweh, I like it, too. Because he's going to say, well, one day up the road, got hot and heavy. What part did you take care of when it got hot and heavy? Because one thing about it, everybody's going to be tried. Everybody's going to be tried, Mother. Let's get some Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's take a look at that. Everybody's going to be tried. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What did I say that, Mother?
Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And remember, the righteous spirit will teach you. So we have to know what this Bible is saying. Because this ministry here is prepared to unlock the mysteries of the Bible. So, Mother, in Hebrews chapter 4, we'll make it 12, Mother. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to pick up at verse 4. Let's see, can we get something going on, Spirit-led and Yahweh, what happens after death? Let's get a little groundwork down first, part 3. I took a look at something in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and particularly verse number 4. What did that say to that mother? And we'll read down a little bit.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. You have not yet resist unto blood, striving against sin.
Now, keep reading. Turn on down.
Verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of Yahuwah, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
Keep reading.
I'll
back you up. Keep reading, mother.
Yeah. Verse 6. For whom Yahuwah loveth, he chasteneth and scourge every son whom he receiveth. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, Yahuwah deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? Verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
So we're going to get tried in Yahuwah's word. He said, don't you want to get tried in Yahuwah's word now, then later? Don't you want to know what's really going on now, then later? And then one thing, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel was told to put this in writing in 1 Peter 4, mother. 1 Peter 4, 17 down to verse 19. And how he operates. See, this is how the Almighty operates. The chief speaker of the nation of Israel is going to show you how the Almighty operates. Let's see how he operates, mother, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. How he operates, mother.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the temple of Yahuwah. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the covenant of Yahuwah? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unyahuwahly and the sinner appear? Verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of Yahuwah commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creature.
Back up, mother, same thing, chapter, and pick up verse 12 through 16. Back up and pick up 12 through 16. Same 1 Peter 4, just back up to verse 12 through 16.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 16 or 15.
1 Peter, chapter 4, pick up verse 12, and take out from there.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happening unto you. 13. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Yahweh the Son's suffering, that when his greatness shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. 14. If you be reproached for the name of Yahweh the Son, happy are you, for the spirit of greatness and of Yahweh rested upon you. On their parts, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is greatness. 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer,
a busybody. So otherwise, when you get suffering by being a busybody, and then, you know, so don't be a busybody. So understand the will of the Almighty. So Yahweh got it laid out exactly. That's why we got to remember what it says in 7 verse 6, St. John. Hey, mother, what it says in 7 verse 6 of St. John?
St. John 7, verse 6. St. John, stop the finger. Verse 6. St. John, chapter 7, verse 6, read. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
So that's the part we got to remember. We can let these jobs and let these families and everything else hammer us. And the one thing, your time is always ready. That rock can cut you down any given minute, and everything that you have did for the world will serve you no purpose if you ain't got your Yahweh right. So we can continue to be, you know, doing double time, triple times, and everything else, trying to make ends that will never meet. And you come short of the power of Yahweh, and Yahweh calls you in, and then all of a sudden he calls you in, then all of a sudden you're going to say, I mean, you're not going to say anything, but you'll be in the situation where the point that you've been so busy in this world, and you forgot to do Yahweh's business. And that's the part going to catch up with you, and that's why we're trying to let you know that every man going to taste death. It's just how you apply yourself to this thing before that time hits you. Because everybody going to taste it. So Yahweh going to want to know one thing through the angels and the record book. Was you doing Yahweh's business when you were shut down? Oh no, I was doing the company's business. Well, then you know he got a statement for that then, mother. And Deuteronomy, let's see we got a statement for that. Oh well, no, I was doing company business. I didn't have time for Yahweh's business, trying to make ends meet. You got an answer for that too, mother. Let's see what answer you got for that in Deuteronomy. You got an answer for that too. The job got me down, and I gotta get my overtime in, triple time in. You got an answer for that too. Let's see what he got written that we can read spirit led through Yahweh. And where we going, mother? I'm struggling right now. Let's see, but I'm struggling a little bit right now because he want to let you know that man do not know his time. I know a whole lot of hardworking men and women. That's why I just cut them down. But guess what? They don't be rich then. They won't be rich in Yahuwah. But when he shut you down, they're going to buy you in the pot. I'm going to ask you one thing. That job was more important than getting me right? Really? He got all the power. So now, look what he says, mother, that we can read. We go on to the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Because I've seen the best of them. They put more time in the world, and they had slack on Yahuwah's business. And Yahuwah shut them down, and guess what? Then everybody fumbling all around trying to figure out what's happening. I'm telling you what's happening. You sure you got the Yahuwah right? Let's see what we can read in the 32nd chapter, verse 36, mother. Deuteronomy. Let's see what he got written in 32. And we're going to look at verse 36 through 38. Let's see really what he got written in Deuteronomy 32, 36 to 38. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 36 to 38. Verse 36. For Yahweh shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none set up or left. 37. And he shall say, where are their Yahuwahs, their rock, in whom they trusted? 38. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifice and drank the wine of their drink offering. Let them raise up and help you and be your protection.
So he asked him a question. He said, yeah, you in captivity, and this is a captivity for you. But this is a learning process for you in captivity. So he wants us to make sure we clear, mother, in the second chapter of Revelation, make it the third chapter of Revelation. What do we say, mother, that we can read in Revelation End Time Prophecy, chapter 3? And we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. What does it say there, mother?
Revelation chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthening the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before Yahuwah. Verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you.
You're right, because we read over there in 7 verse 6. We read it. He said, I know my time, he said, but your time always ready. So he's telling you, you need to remember, he told Jones in the prison, to let him know, don't let this world have you tie you down. Because you never know when Yahuwah is going to shut you down. So make sure you got your Yahuwah right. He says in the bottom of verse 2, for I have not found thy works perfect before Yahuwah. Oh, so he said, You got to have the works perfect before Yahuwah. Now, what are you talking about, mother? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I mean, according to Yahuwah the Son, he's going to talk about his father in the 5th chapter, verse 48. He's going to say something about his father, and he tell you that you got a shot at this thing in Matthew 5:48. What it say in Matthew 5:48?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
So he's saying you got an opportunity to be perfect. Now, James's brother, mother, he cast in on what his brother had said in James chapter 1. He kind of heard what his brother said, be our Father in heaven is perfect. And James kind of pulled that verse and said a couple of things about that verse, mother. In the first chapter, what he says in 1:1, just to get warmed up, James 1, verse 1. What did Yahuwah the Son's brother say in 1, verse 1?
James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of Yahuwah and of Yahuwah the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings.
Mm-hmm. So who James's book is written to, mother, according to verse 1?
The 12 tribes of Israel.
Oh, so we're clear. When you're reading about the book of James, he's writing to the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, the Israelites. So what do we tell them, 2, 3, and 4? What do we tell them, mother? 2, 3, take it on down to verse number 6. We take it straight on down to 1 down to verse 6. You read 1, now read, matter of fact, I got to get some more out of this. Take it down to 1 through 6 and verse number 8. Let's see what it said that we can read, mother. James chapter 1, you read 1 already. Pick it up verse 2 down to verse 6 and verse 8. What did it say there, mother?
James chapter 1, verses 2 to 6 and verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Yahuwah, that giveth to all men liberty and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Mm. So you can't be all over the place. Now, we heard this word again, mother. Read that verse. Remember, it's in 5:48. We read it already in Matthew. So look what James says in 1 verse 4, mother, again.
1 verse 4, James. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
So he said, well, make sure if you tie yourself out, make sure you're doing perfect work. He said, make sure you're doing perfect work. If you tie yourself out, he said, but let patience have her patience work. Make sure you're patient and work. Now, Mo, that's big talk right there. Now, we better find out how you be patient and work, because the world will have us be patient and the wrong kind of work. And we all tied out and got a third to tell. But now let's find what the angel, what he's pulling his verse from being perfect yet, Mother. Let's run to the 19th chapter, verse 7. Let's see exactly how you be perfect. Oh, I got perfect attendance on my job. And whenever they tell me about overtime, I take my overtime. Whatever I got to do, I do it. I'm perfect. You know, I got a plaque. They give me a plaque every year about how my attendance rain, sleet, or snow, I'm perfect on doing the world's business. Let's see how you be perfect in Yahuwah's business. Let's talk about Yahuwah's business, Mother. In 19, verse 7 of Psalms.
Psalms, chapter 19, verse 7. The law of Yahuwah is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahuwah is sure, making wise the simple.
Mm-hmm. See the law. See, you're perfect in the world. Oh, yeah, I'm just so tired, baby. I'm just tired. It was a long journey, and they worked me like a Hebrew slave, they say. But what did you do in Yahuwah? What did you do for Yahuwah? Oh, I don't have time to pick up a Bible. I don't have time for Yahuwah. I just got to keep the pat on the back on my job and keep a roof over my head and being perfect in the world, okay? So in the book of Daniel, Mother, I'm struggling right now, but nothing serious to help. See, you own something. I'm going to help you with this lesson. So in the book of Daniel, Mother, it was a profound statement made in the book of Daniel about, you know, it was a statement made in the book of Daniel. So one thing about it, you got to make sure you're perfect by keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments. You got to know a cutoff period, because I don't care what you do in this world. If you're not perfect in Yahuwah by keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments, you might have all the plaques on the wall you want them. The man going to burn you in the fire. Because he's going to say, when did you get me right? Oh, I didn't have time to get you right because the job working me like a Hebrew slave. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Time going up. Remember we read in 7 verse 6, Yahuwah the Son said, I know my time. He said, my time, but your time is always. It's like the music of cherubs, 12 cherubs and 13 peoples. When the music stops, let's see what he says in the fifth chapter of Daniel, when the music stops. Mother, we're going to see what happened when the music stops. We're going to Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 25 and 27. Let's look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 25 and 27.
25 and
22. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're going to read straight on down. Let's read 25 to 27. Let's make a little sharp meal out of it, Mother. We're looking at verse 25, 26, and 27. What did it say that, Mother, day up there,
Daniel chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. Verse 25. And this is the writing that was written.
Many. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Verse 26.
This is the interpretation of the thing. Mia Yahuwah has numbered your kingdom and finish
yes.
it.
Yes.
Tika. I don't know that word.
Yes.
Thou art.
Don't even say it. Don't even say you don't know. Just take it till you make it. Just pronounce the first letter.
Okay. 27. T. Thou art weighted in the balance and are found wanting.
See that? You've been weighed in the balance. What we're trying to tell you, we're done part one and two. We're going to do a little life series on what happened after death, but we'll be prepared for it. Understand one thing. Death is on everybody, but certain things we got to make sure we clear, that we got to make sure we understand. Don't never be out of balance that you don't understand Yahuwah's word. You know, Yahuwah's word is the game changer. And daughter Yahuwah said, listen, see, I'm coming on to help assist in that lesson because it sounds pretty good to me. So I might well hide that microphone too. Oh, daughter Yahuwah. You know, that makes you feel happy. See, when you're hollering that microphone, you know, you're doing Yahuwah's will. You always supposed to make sure you got time to do Yahuwah's business. This man, like he said in 7 verse 6, he said, listen, I know my time. That's what he said. But your time is always. So we got to make sure we make sure we got this man right. Not worry about all the plaques on the wall and the pats on the back. On the good job, the worldly job, because you want to leave here. You got, and Mother, read that 2 verse 10 of Malachi. We're going to bring Dawn in behind that. But give me Michael, chapter 2, verse 10. Give me Michael. Michael, chapter 2, verse 10, Mother. Give me Michael, chapter 2, verse 10, and we're going to bring Dawn in, and Dawn is going to help holler in that microphone and make the, she's going to make the old seer happy by hollering that microphone. You know.
Michael, chapter 2, verse 10. Arise, mm-hmm. you, and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction.
Okay, then you arise. Listen, this what you're doing now for this world, it is corrupt. It's going to destroy you. Chasing this man's world down, it's going to destroy you. You better be rich in Yahuwah when he sets you down. I don't care what you do for this system of this world. Make sure you got your Yahuwah right. So, daughter Yahuwah said, let's see, I want to holler in that microphone a little bit. So, punch me in. Daughter Yahuwah. Yahuwah busy that scene right here.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of C. Roy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, daughter. Well, daughter, we're doing we've done part one and two on what happened after death. And one of our strong leaders out of one of the camps have passed. Strong leader. But we got to understand one thing. Everybody is ticket for this departure. But we got to know clearly exactly what we do and how we prepare ourselves and those that's close to us. We got to remember one thing. We got to have our Yahuwah right. Like the musical carol says, 12 people, 13, but when the music stops, who don't have a seat, got to go somewhere and sit down. If you don't have a seat in the proper order, you're going to the fire. You got to make sure you got, if you ain't got nothing else right, make sure you got this right. So, daughter, in the book of Luke chapter 12, it was a man that had it. He had his pockets real good. He was ready to retire. He was feeling good. He was skinny and grinning. He was feeling pretty good. So he threw a thing about what should he do when he got his act together. He said, I wonder what should I do? Let's find out what the Yahuwah says to him. Let's see his thoughts in verse 17 down to verse 21. Let's see what his thoughts was about Dawdy Yahuwah and Luke chapter 12. Verse number 17 to 21. Let's find out how he's thinking And what did Yahweh say to him after he got through with all that great thinking he was doing? 17 to 21, come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. Verse 17 reads. Okay. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruit. Verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But Yahuwah said unto him, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? Verse 21. So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. See, we have to make sure we are rich toward Yahuwah. See, that's our game plan. We got to make sure we rich toward Yahuwah. That's what we got to make sure we clear. And so once we rich toward Yahuwah, in the book of Ecclesiastes there, daughter Yahuwah, chapter 9. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it makes a statement that is written in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It talks about something in this book. What do it say in 9 verse number 12? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. Regular book, 9, verse 12. Daughter Yahuwah, what do I say? 9.
Okay, the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9.
What's wrong, daughter's microphone? Yeah, what's in 9, verse 12?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that were taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them.
Mm-hmm. So man do not know his time. And Mother D of Israel, we're going to precept that, Mother. Man do not know his time. Man don't know his time. That's why you got to, every chance you get, you got to make sure you give it all you got. And they'll say, Yahuwah, you don't know when your time. You know, you can say, I just was talking to that person yesterday, and now he don't, but understand something. In the 14th chapter, verse 1 down to verse 3 and 5 says what there, Mother dear of Israel? Let's see what it says in Job chapter 14, 1 down to verse 3 and verse 5. And daughter, Yahuwah, pick up at verse 12. And we'll keep reading until we get our point. You pick up at verse number 12. No, I'm going to pick it around about verse 10. You pick it around about verse 10. But Mother D of Israel, give me 1, 2, and 3, and verse 5. What did it say there, Mother D of Israel? 1, 2, 3, and 5. What did it say?
In Job chapter 9.
Verse 14.
Oh,
verse 14. 1, 2, and 3, and 5.
Okay. Job chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, and verse 5. Verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Verse 2. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He flees also as a fadeth also as a shadow and continue not. Verse 3. And doest thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with you? Verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with you. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass.
Mm-hmm. So read verse 5 again, there, mother. Verse
5. Job chapter 14, verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass.
Mm-hmm. So Yahweh have appointed his bounds, and you're not going, I don't care if you're taking aloe vera or running over tracks at the same time. It's already penciled in when you're coming into this world, and it's penciled in when you're going to leave. Yahweh is clear about it. So when you see things happening, Yahweh had already got it ordained. I thought you're going to go. Your steps have been numbered. And we're going to precept that, mother, in the 49th chapter. I need a precept on something, mother, in the 49th chapter. And we're going to look at what he's saying in verse 16. Isaiah 49:16, mother, what it say? 49:16 with a precept.
Isaiah 49:16.
49 verse 16, mother. What it says in 49 verse 16 of the book of Isaiah. 49:16.
It just says 1:5 and 1:6. 49.
Isaiah 49:16.
Isaiah chapter 49 verse 16. Behold, I have graven
Isaiah
thee.
49 verse 16.
This is what I'm reading.
Okay.
Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hand. Your walls are continuously for me.
He says, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hand. So he got you in the palm of his hand. The walls are continuously for me. So let's get a precept on that. Hold what you got there, daughter. Put a mark there, daughter. Y'all, I'll get a precept on that in the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Let's get a precept on that one. Let's get a precept. He said, otherwise, I got my eye on you, children of Israel, the Israelites. I got my eye on you. So now we go on to the 18th chapter and get a precept there, daughter Yahweh. See, we'll get a precept on what we just saying by going, let's see what it says in verse 5 and 6. What it says in verse 5 and 6? Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5 and 6. What it say that, daughter of Yahweh?
The book of Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 reads, then the word of the YHWH Yahuwah came to me, saying, verse 6, O nation of Israel, I do with you as the potter, said the Yahuwah. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O nation of Israel.
Good. So Yahuwah says business is about you. He said, that is my business. My business is about you. I got Israel, the Israelite, in the palm of my hand. And I can do whatever I want to you whenever I get ready. So never forget that, children of Israel. So this one man, we ought to take more honest heed onto what he's saying than what this world is saying, because he's going to never get even with old Bill. I don't care if you, like, for example, you have the title in your draw. Do you know you got to pay property taxes twice a year? Twice a year. And I was sitting there listening and said, yeah, see, you know, property taxes are going to be done on this place really twice a year, every 6 months, $335 to $4,000 a month for property taxes. Property taxes. So regardless, I don't care how much you get in front of with your notes and everything, property taxes are going to be there, and the property taxes are going to be the reason why you get put up out of there. Property taxes. See that? That's why Yahuwah said he got to do something for you. And let me get a priest up on that, darling. That's why Yahuwah is telling us he got to do something for us. In the 37th chapter, but see, we don't know these things. See, property taxes, you ain't going to never get eaten. You can work yourself to the bone, but you'll never get eaten. But you got to always pay property taxes twice a year. And property taxes, that's all they know how to do is raise debt. So we got to come up with some strategy or get some more money for our wicked ways. Well, what's the best way to do it but raise up property taxes? That's all they need to do is raise up property taxes. See? So now, I need a precept, daughter of Yahuwah. On something Yahuwah said in Ezekiel, he was telling Ezekiel to see of something on what he don't have to do. And what he said, I'm struggling right now, daughter of Yahuwah. So see of struggling, but he said something that he was going to do. But I'm struggling right now. So in the book of 38th chapter, what does it say in verse 1? Ezekiel 38, verse 1. What does it say, 38, verse 1? Ezekiel 38, verse 1, daughter Yahuwah, what does it say in 38, verse 1?
Okay, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 1. And the word of the Yahuwah came unto me, saying.
Oh, good. So now we know the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying. So now we better pay attention to that. So the word came to Ezekiel the seer. The word of Yahuwah came to him, saying. Saying what? What do you say that we can read in verse 8? So in verse 8, let's read a little bit till we get our point. Maybe down to verse 10. What do you say that, daughter?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 8. After many days that thou shalt be visited in the latter year, you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations. And they shall dwell safely, all of them.
So hold on, daughter. So after many days, the land of Israel gonna be brought back from the sword, and they're gonna be gathered in out many people. So one of these days to come, the children of Israel, the Israelites, going to be draw back, they're going to come back from the sword that they're up under right now. But he got some business he got to take care of first. See, I mean, so not all that. Some awakening got to happen. See, you got to know that you've been brought down by the sword. See, you got to know that you've been brought down by the sword. Now, we got to stop at that, daughter, on that verse 8 and do a little precepting on that one. Because, put a mark there, daughter, we're coming back. And you got to understand something. You've been taken down by the sword. The sword that's taking you down. That's what I'm taking you down. But see, you got to know, but you got to be brought back from the sword. See, so that's why we got to talk to you about the Bible. It got a lot of symbolism and got a lot of good stuff in this book. He said, so you've been taken down by the sword. Now, what is he trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you something that what many days you'll be brought back from the sword. But you've been taken down by the sword. In the 17th chapter, daughter of Yahuwah, let's precept that a little bit and find out a little bit more about this right here that we read. The 17th chapter, verse 13, angel came and told David, the tang is something. Let's see what he said in 17, verse 13, there, daughter of Yahuwah, come on.
The book of Ezekiel.
No, Psalms chapter 17, verse 13. See, we try to unmask this mystery, and as we get into the third part of what happens after death, we got to understand something that what we have to be looking forward to more, understanding this Bible, because death going to pass on every man and woman. But you have to make sure you're going to leave a good legacy on what signs to look for. He said, now, you got to be brought back from the sword. That's what I just heard. So now we got to find out more about the sword there, daughter of Yahuwah. So in the 17th chapter of Psalm, verse 13, let's talk about it for a minute. Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 13. Arise, O Yahuwah, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver thy soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
But you said, daughter, you just dropped the bombshell into reading it, dog. It said, arise, O Yahuwah, disappoint him, cast him down. You see what he's saying, daughter? Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. He's talking about him. This is the guy you got to be delivered. This is the sword, man. This is the one that beat your back. This is the one you be paying your property taxes to. You got to be delivered from this guy right here. See, this right here. This guy you got to be delivered from. This sword. Oh, well, I ain't paid my property taxes. I got to tie him a draw. Well, guess what? You don't pay your property tax, you're going to lose that property. Well, I'll pay. It don't make no difference. You can never get even with this wicked. This wicked is the sword. And not only that, it was the seer, Malachi, said something about it. Dowdy Yahuwah, Malachi 1:1 down to verse 4. Even see, remember, Yahuwah would do nothing but reveal his secrets to his servants, the seers. The seers. That's who have his information first. So now we're dealing with this right here, this 17 chapter, verse 13. It says, arise, O four-letter man. Disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. So him is wicked. And he's a sword man. If he don't get you today, he gonna get you tomorrow. Understand something, the Bible gonna stand. So you got all of your time in the wicked and you ain't got no time in Yahweh, you're gonna pay the price. He's telling you you're gonna pay the price. Hey, mother, have me 55 verse 20 to 23 of Psalms waiting on me. Now, daughter Yahweh, it says in Amos 3 verse 7, Yahweh would do nothing but reveal his secrets unto his servants, the seers. So in Malachi, he told Malachi something about this wicked. Let's see if he said that we can read in Malachi chapter 1 down to verse 4. Hey, daughter Yahweh, what that say?
The book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Verse 1 reads, the burden of the word of the YHWH Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. Verse 2, I have loved you, says the YHWH Yahweh, yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau, Jacob, whom named Yahweh turned to Israel's brother, said the YHWH Yahweh, yet I love Jacob, Israel. Verse 3, and I hated Esau and said, his mountain and his heritage. Wait a minute. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Verse 4, whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus said the YHWH Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the YHWH Yahweh have indignation forever.
Bro, he not only got indignation for Esau. Now, daughter, you just dropped the bombs here. You might as well come on clean with it. You just dropped the bombs here. He says Esau, and what you might as well emphasize what he said after he said Esau. So you might as well come on home now, daughter. You got it out there now on tape top of the seventh. He says what again? You might as well bring it on out. He said, I'm going to give you some Esau, but not only I'm going to give you some Esau, I'm going to get some who else I'm going to get?
Whereas Edom said, we are in poverty, but we will return and build the desolate places, said Yahweh of hosts.
Yes.
They shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Yahweh have indignation forever.
And you just call them the border of wickedness. Them. And the people who Yahweh got indignation forever, ever, ever. So I don't care what you be saying and Father plaguing and all the rest of them according to the Bible. Yahweh got indignation with the people of Esau forever and ever. The people. So you're going to understand this Bible saying. See, once you understand this Bible, he got indignation with a people called Esau and his five sons ever and ever. He called them the border of wickedness. Now look at the Latter-day Saints. Here, you've got to have a precept on that because I am descendants of Esau. Okay, well, we do have a precept on that. Latter-day Saints out of Utah, Community Board. And daughter, can you give me the 34th chapter of Isaiah? 34, 1 down to verse number 5, possibly 6. I might can get it all in 1 through 5. So I'm going to get a precept of a Latter-day Saints out of Utah, because he's talking about the people he got an indignation with forever. The people. That's what he said. So when you precept that Bible to Isaiah 34, 1 down in verse 5, we might can get it out of 1 verse 5. Possibly we got to go to 6. I don't know yet. But let's see how good 1 through 5 sound, daughter. What it say in 1 through 5?
The book of Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1 through 5, verse 1 reads, "Come near, you nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it." Verse 2. "For the indignation of the Yahuwah is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He have utterly destroyed them. He have delivered them to the slaughter." Verse 3. "Their slain also shall be cast out, and their things shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood." Verse 4. "And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled again, shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down. As a leaf falling to vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree." Verse 5. "For my sword shall be bathed, in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edome, who is Esau, and his five sons, upon the people of my curse to judgment."
Well, so even you know that his sword gonna come down on the people of his curse. He said, "It can come a day I'm gonna get the people of my curse. My sword gonna be bathed in heaven." Why? Hey, daughter, why? Verse 8, why are you going to bathe your sword against Esau and his five sons? Why? I need to know why. Is this a reason why? Can we read why? Verse 8.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 8. "For it is the day of the YHWH's Yahuwah's vengeance, and the year of my recompense for the controversy of Israel."
Of Yahdah Judah. I'm gonna sell it. Everybody think that land belongs to everybody but African American and Negro color. He said, "I'm gonna sell that controversy. They over there saying that land belongs to them." He said, "I'm going to whoop Esau and his five sons so good that you're going to know that land never belongs to Esau and his five sons." They're arguing about who that, the Arabs, though, they're arguing about that land belongs to them, or Ishmael and them. They said it belongs to them. And they got you in their war. They army. You got the Israelis say the land belongs to them, and they got you in their war. So you just a pawn in both people's wars. You fighting, and don't you know what you fighting for, children of Israel, is like. You and both of them, you over there messing around with Ishmael, you in his army. Then you turn right around, he told the brothers over there, and they came over there in 1968. He said, "Hey, I'll give you a piece of land, I'll give you a downside piece of land, but up on a one agreement, you got to let your children be in my army." And look at that. You see the agreement then, ain't? So they went over there, and now the same people's over there. Now they tell them, now they try to bomb up out of here. Now because they figure that they don't learn too much now, it's time to get rid of them, get them out of here now. See? You see how we did? We cut a deal to come back to the land that already belongs to you, and they gave you a stipulation saying, yes, come back to the land, but your children got to be in my army. Just look at that. The children got to be in your army. Who are we going to be fighting against? We're going to be fighting against old Ishmael down there. Did Ishmael down there tell the one that broke about it, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and told him, look here, y'all got to be with us. Now y'all become Muslims. Now look at you now. Now you're Muslims. Now you're off in their army. See, we're all over the place. See, I'm telling you something. So that's why, hey, mother, hold that point. So in Ezekiel 37, 1 down to verse 4, that's why I keep telling, we got a big job ahead of us. In Ezekiel 37, hold what you got, mother. Put a marker there. And give me 37, 1, 2, 3, 4, mother, of Ezekiel. See, right now, you got the children of Israel. I even seen them when Bush told them, I'm going to give you so much time to get up out of Iran and Iraq. And then he showed the one that was in the army of the Iran and Iraq. And there was among them, they go again. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. You know, it's just amazing how we as a people don't know who we are, and everything looks good, we want a piece of it. So Yahweh's son, he said, he asked Ezekiel, the seer, he said, hey, Ezekiel, are you the man of the hour right now? He said, yeah. He said, well, then you put down what I tell you to put down. 37, 1 down to verse 4. What do you say, mother?
Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 4, verse 1 read, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Verse 4, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh, thou knowest. Verse 4.
Go ahead.
Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? So all the way these dry bones, the only reason these dry bones gonna live, mother. That's why we keep telling the six anointed camps. The only way these dry bones gonna live, it's not how much overtime you put out on these jobs in the world. All the way these dry bones gonna live, according to verse 4, mother, what got to happen, according to verse 4, mother, for the dry bones to live?
Hear the word of Yahweh.
They got to hear the word of Yahweh. That's what we keep telling you, children of the six anointed camp. People got to hear the word of Yahweh. That is the only way back, because we all over the place. We in everybody's wars. We think we African Americans, Negroes, colors, super coons. We think we Israelis, we think we Muslims. We all over the place. See? And you're not going to hear the word of Yahweh with this mindset. Read verse 9, figure verse 9, and give me a little bit more. Let's see about this, what he said is going to have to happen. See, when they hear the word of Yahweh, mother, D.F. Israel, this don't feel. I mean, I know they don't pay those seal no never mind, but the seal job got to tell you, but in that 47th chapter, Mother D of Israel, he's telling you got to hear the word because our mindset is bad. Let's see what our mindset talks about, Mother D of Israel. And in that 37th chapter, see, we got a bad mindset, Mother. Pick up verse number 9. Let's read a little bit in verse number 9 about the mindset of the children of the book. Verse number 9.
Ezekiel 37, verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says Yahweh, come forth, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
Hate that something. Hate that. Hold that part. Hate that something. We got to breathe on them, brother. Don't be breathing on me, but that's what we got to breathe on you to make you live. See, children of Israel, Israel, we got to breathe on you to make you live. Breathe on them, make them live. Eh? Read a little bit more. I got happy already. Read a little bit more.
Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is on the left side of the book. This is the Old Testament. So, Adonai Yahweh and Samuel, can you help me out, daughter? And 2 Samuel 7:19, he prophesies and these balls live. This must be, this smell like some 2 Samuel 7:19 there, daughter Yahweh. What is it saying in 2 Samuel 7:19, daughter?
2 Samuel 7:19 reads, and this was yet a thing in thy sight, O Yahweh. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come.
How long, brother? That's for a great while to come. So what? So a great army got to be put together. This is for a great while to come. This ain't happened yet. There ain't no great army been put together yet. So it means somebody got a job to do by putting a great army together. And that's why I keep telling you, six anointed counts. You got to learn this word. Because this prophecy on us by putting a great army together. And how you put a great army together, you got to know the word of Yahweh. Then Yahweh gonna put a 14 verse 9 of Zechariah on you, daughter. See, then Yahweh gonna put a 14 verse 9 on you. See, understand something. It's right before you, but you put more time in Mr. Charlie's business, and when Charlie reads your book, you fall asleep because you're letting Mr. Charlie wore you down. You gotta put some time in Yahweh's business. He's going to bring his thing to an end. It's prophesied a great army got to stand up. It's not a bunch of peoples, but it's going to be a bunch of peoples. But the people got to understand the word of Yahweh, the great army. You got to know what this Bible says. You got to be into this season, out of season, ready to go. Only way this great army going to stand. In Ezekiel time, it was a great while to come. In Samuel time, it's a great while to come. You know what time is? Now. It lies in the hand of the old seer to get these six anointed camps on their feet to be prepared to meet them where they're at, to teach the word of Yahweh. That's why we give it all we got every time out. A great army must emerge itself. But the great army must understand this Bible. You got to know about what happens after death, how to keep yourself prepared, because your time is, you got to know all this stuff to help these people in these days. Then you have a 14 verse 9 with daughter Yahweh. I'll get ready to read for you. Well, get ready to read 14 verse 9 of Zechariah. Then what happens? 14 verse 9, daughter, Zechariah.
The book of Zechariah,
Make it 9:14, daughter. Let's talk about it in 9:14 there, daughter.
The book of Zechariah, the 9, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, and the YHW WH Yahuwah shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the YHWH Yahuwah shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwind of the south.
YHWH what? I'm not hearing all of it, daughter. So the YHWH's got to be seen over you. And he's not going to be seen over you unless you understand his word. This prophecy was a great while to come. You got to understand his word. His word speaks for itself. If you want Yahuwah to be seen over you, you got to understand his word. Now, Mother D of Israel, let's go to 104 verse 9. Let's go to 104. You got to understand his word. All right, I guess we're back there. So where did we leave off on, daughter?
Zechariah, I was reading at Zechariah 9:14.
We're up on Zechariah. I'll read that again.
That's the passage that I read.
Okay. Zechariah?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good enough. So that's the last verse we're up off on Zechariah 9:14.
That's the last one I read.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's see now pick back up on where we left off on. So we find out I know I had a precept. I thought I got the precept before the big dignitaries wanna chastise me about the broadcast. Still ain't gonna work. But in the same token, we was reading a verse. I thought we had a precept on something. Mother D.F. Israel, when you are you holding something, Mother D.F. Israel?
Mother D.F. reading something.
The what?
Your mother DF was reading. I forgot what she was reading.
What was she reading?
Told something.
What was the something? Yeah, what was the something, Mom?
I didn't hear that
song. You didn't get it? Okay, well, we ain't gonna worry about it then. Right, let's go another. Let's take another route then. Let's I told you, I remember now. Psalm 104 verse 9. That's what I told you, Mother dear Israel. Psalm 104 verse 9.
Psalm 104. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth.
Mm-hmm. So what we have to know in the six anointed camps, that Yahuwah got a timeline with the precepts of Job 14, verse 5, that we're not going to cross that boundary. I don't care what we think or what was going on. Yahuwah already set a bound for us to how far we're going to go and how far we're not going to go. That's why you got to know exactly who's the players and everything and what we got to do to make sure that we don't be so caught up in this world, not understanding what Yahuwah is saying. You're doing some tall talking, daughter of Yahuwah. You're doing some tall talking. Now, we're going to find out something along the way to find out something. In Matthew chapter 19, now we're going to take a look at something, daughter. Matthew chapter 19, we're just going to read something, and we're going to see something along the way of seeing something. Matthew chapter 19, daughter Yahuwah, pick up at verse 16. And we're going to learn something on the way of learning something.
The book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is YHWH Yahuwah the Father. But if you shall will enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18. He said unto him, Which, Yahuwah, the son of Yahuwah, the father said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 19. Honor your father and your mother, and thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? Verse 21. Yahuwah, the son of Yahuwah, the father said unto him, If you will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Mm-hmm. So when he heard all that, that he got to give to the poor, that he had great possessions. So Yahuwah was not telling to sell all that you have, and he was saying sell all you have, but all that over stuff that you got. You got people got so much over stuff, and that's what he wants you to give to the poor. But we be so busy trying to hold on to everything, and knowing we got not only two pair of sneakers, we got 120 pair of sneakers. You got brothers on the football, the sports industry. They got a closet designated for sneakers. So he's saying, you know you're not going to wear all them sneakers. Why don't you give them to the poor? And that's what he was trying to tell the young man. He had plenty of possession of wealth. And all the overflow, that's what Yahuwah is telling. We got so much overflow, we got more dresses than we ever going to wear. And we won't give up none of them dresses. And you know you don't wear all of them dresses. Yeah. And that's what he's talking about. Right there. So if you don't be perfect, then you have to give up something. But now, daughter, where did he pull this from? What made him say that, and where did he pull that from? Let's run to Ezekiel 20 and look at verse 1, 2, and we'll skip down to verse 9. Let's see where did he pull this from? Where did he pull all this conversation from? See, they say when Yahuwah, the Son, came, we ain't got to keep nothing from the left side of the book. But what did he pull? What he said, thou shalt not do. Let's see by looking at Exodus 20, verse 1, 2, and then we'll skip down to verse 9. We'll read some of them. We'll read down until we see, could we match up what was said in the 20th chapter, verse 1 and 2 and 9. We're going to read down until we get our points on where Yahuwah was pulling that 19th chapter, verse 16, down to where the daughter left off on. Let's see where he's pulling that from. Exodus 20, 1, 2, and skip down to verse 9 and continue. Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 1, 2, and 9. Verse 1 reads, and the Yahuwah say all these words, saying, verse 2, I am the YHWH Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 9. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Verse 10. But the 7 day is the Sabbath of Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah. In it you shall not do any work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, for nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Verse 11, for in 6 days the YHWH Yahuwah made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the 7 day. Wherefore the Yahuwah blessed the 7 day and hallowed it. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah, giveth you. Verse 13, you shall not kill, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 17, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy.
That's good, daughter. Now, if we clear, mother and daughter, that when Yahuwah, when a man asks a question about what can I do to get eternal life, did Yahuwah quote him something that's to come, or did he quote him something already was written? What did Yahuwah do? What did he do? What did he do? We won't answer that question. What did he do?
He had them summed out already written.
He got at him and quote something that's already written. Now, why so, Mother dear of Israel? Let's go to Romans chapter 7, Mother dear of Israel, and look at verse 1 and 14. See, one of the greatest mysteries in understanding the Bible, when Yahweh was coming on the scene, he quoted everything that was already written. He didn't bring no new thing. Matter of fact, daughter, read 5:17 of Matthew, daughter Yahweh. What does it say in 5:17?
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 17 reads, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the seer. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill."
He said, "I ain't come to destroy nothing that they have wrote that I told them to write. I come to fulfill." Fulfill what? 3:18 and 21 of Acts. What he come to fulfill. Now, listen, see, that's why you got to know how to precept your Bible, Six of Morning Camps, is I ain't come to change nothing. When the man asked me what good thing I must do to have eternal life, I told him, flat out, keep the law, statutes, and commandments. And we read in Exodus chapter 20. Now, he says in 5:17, I ain't come to change, no, I come to fulfill. What's that supposed to mean? Fulfill what? Then you precept your Bible, 3:18 and 21 of Acts. Come on, daughter.
The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 18 and 21. Verse 18 reads, "But those things which Yahweh before had showed by the mouth of all his seers, that the Yahweh, the son of Yahweh the Father, should suffer, he has so fulfilled." Verse 21, "When the heaven must receive, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which the Yahweh hath spoken by the mouth of all his righteous seers since the world began."
Mm-hmm. So what did he come to fulfill? What was told for him to do? He come to fulfill what he supposed to do. Then, daughter Yahweh, it was time for him to go. And what he says in 14 verse 12 of St. John. So he only come fulfill what he told the seers he was going to do. He was going to let them beat his back, pluck his beard off. But he ain't come and change the laws, statutes, and commandments. So once he fulfilled everything he had to do, daughter of Yahweh, what did he say in 14 verse 12 of St. John? What did he say?
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father."
See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. Yahweh said, "Now, I'm getting ready to leave here, but it always will be a he down here to direct your path, and he's going to be doing greater work than you seen me do. Because by the time when he get a hold to you, you're going to think you African American, Negro, Arabs, Muslims, Chinese. You think you everything." He said he's going to do greater works. So that's why I keep saying that Yahweh have returned back to heaven, sit on the right hand. He always will have a he to direct your path on what you supposed to be doing now in these days. He said, "I'm going back to sit on the right hand of my Father." Now he going to take it from there. And you listen to the he right now. But I know you're not going to pay the he, no, never mind. But he's going to show you soundly what you got to do and what you need to know. And Let's take a look at it, Mother. In Genesis 2, verse 7. We're going to Genesis 2, verse 7, Mother D.F. Israel. Now, we could take care of some business to let you know some things you need to know, and he going to show you some things in his Bible. He going to show you something. The he. Genesis 2, verse 7. Mother D.F. Israel. Genesis 2, verse 7.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 reads, "And Yahweh formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Uh-huh. So he breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. So Yahweh put his breath in that man, and man became a living soul. Now, precept that, Mother, to 4 verse 7 of the book of Ezra. 2 Ezra 4 verse 7. Now, listen real good and learn something on the way of learning something. We're going to Ezra, 2 Ezra 4, and pick up verse 5 to make it sound good. Verse 5. 2 Ezra 4, verse 5. Let's read a little bit, Mother. Take your time and give me a little more audio. Let's do some edifying right now. Let's do a little edifying now. Come on.
2 Ezra chapter 4, verse 7.
Verse 5.
That's what you said.
Pick up at verse 5.
Huh?
Pick up verse 5. Pick up at verse 5,
okay.
Mother. We're doing a little edifying. Let's do a little edifying right now. Verse 5.
2 Ezra chapter 4, verse 5. "And I said, tell me on, my Yahweh. Then said he unto me, go your way, weigh me the weight of the fire, or measure me the blast of the wind, or call me again the day that is past." Verse 6. "Then answered I and said, what man is able to do that thou shouldest ask such things of me? Verse 7. "And he said unto me, if I should ask you, how great dwellings are in the midst of the sea, or how many springs are in the beginning of the deep, or how many springs are above the firmament, or which are the outgoing of paradise. Verse 8. Preventure, thou wouldest say unto me, I never went down into the deep, nor as yet into hell, neither did I ever climb up unto heaven. Verse 9. Nevertheless, now have I asked you, but only of the fire and wind and of the day where through thou hast passed, and of things from which thou cannot be separated. And yet can thou give me no answer of them?" Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10. "He said, moreover, unto me, thine own thing and such as are grown up with you, can thou not know?" Verse 11.
That's good enough, Mother. That's good enough. So you see what he's saying? So when you listen to these philosophers tell you about things pertaining to this book, they have no answers for you. That's why it's going to be all over the place. You can't tell me nothing to make nothing work outside this book. You got to use this Bible to put on your case. So he was letting Ezekiel Seer, I don't care how much smart you have, I don't care how many degrees you have, you ain't going to know jack until you understand this book. This is the game changer to have the wisdom in this book. Now, Mother read 2 verse 7. She read 2 verse 7. He created man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. But you go to philosophers to try to find out what he's talking about. And daughter Yahuwah, the Maccabees, daughter Yahuwah, and we're going to break this down. But we're going to edify you in the breakdowns. We're going to 2 Ezra, chapter 3, verse 4. But before you read 2 Ezra 3, verse 4, a mother dear of Israel, read the 3rd chapter of Genesis to tell me about this man. The 3rd chapter of Genesis, mother dear of Israel. Let's see what Yahuwah says about this man. Let's see what he said, the one that made the man. Let's see what he says in the 3rd chapter. He's going to tell this man something. In verse number 17. We're going to read a little bit, mother. We'll take it down to verse 19. Listen good what he said from 17 down to verse 19. Genesis 3, 17 to 19. Listen good what this man, what the man that made the man said to Adam, his son. Chapter 3, 17 through 19. Give me a little more audio, mother, dear of Israel. Come on.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Verse 17 reads, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened, listened unto the voice of your wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and the sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of your life. Verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. 19, and the sweat of your face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was you taken. For dust you are, and unto dust shall you return.
Yeah. He said, now, Adam, since you listened to your wife, this is going to happen to you, man. He says in verse 19, by the sweat of your face. So now you see, when we're doing all this hard tail work, by the sweat of your face, you're going to do some work and eat thy bread. Till thou return unto the ground. What do you say you going to do? Until you return back to the ground. For dust thou art, and dust you shall return. So you understand something. Man ain't going nowhere but what Yahuwah said, I made this man to go. He said, you're going to sweat. You're going to get your back beat. Then you're going back where you came from. The dust of the ground. That's what you are, and that's what you're going to return to be. That's it. That's what he said. Now, setting that up with daughter Yahuwah, and you're going to tell Osir in 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 4, listen to what he said. Listen to what he said in grand style. He's talking to the Osir. This is what he said to the Osir. 2 Ezra 3, verse 4, let's read a little bit, daughter Yahuwah. Come on.
The book of Ezra, 2 Ezra, chapter 3. 2 Ezra, chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4 reads, oh, YHWH Yahuwah, who bearest rule, thou spakest at the beginning, when thou didst plant the earth, and that thyself alone, and commandest the people. Verse 5, and gave it a body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of thine hand, and didst breathe into the nostrils
into him, wait a minute, and then breathed into him the breath of life, and he was made living before thee. And thou,
come on, daughter.
Okay, I am. Yeah. I'm light here. Yeah. Okay. And thou ledest him into paradise, verse 6. And thou ledest him into paradise, which thy right hand hath planted before ever the earth came forth. Verse 7. And unto him thou gavest commandment to love thy way, which he transgressed. And immediately thou appointedest death in him and in his generation, of whom came nations, tribes, people, and kindred out of number. Verse 8, and every
Hold on, verse 7 again. Come on back. Now, come on back again, because you own something, daughter. You own something from 4 down to verse 7. You own something that needs to be broke down sounded. Come on back to verse 4 down to verse 7 again, daughter. 4 down to verse 7. Remember what mother read in 2 verse 7? Now he's breaking down the mysteries to the seer. And 3 verse 4 down to verse 7, he's breaking the mystery of 2 verse 7. He's just taking the seer another way with his information. 2nd Ezra chapter 3, 4 down to verse 7. Come on, give me a little more audio, daughter, because you own something now. Bring it on home. Come on.
2nd Ezra chapter 3, verse 4 down to 7. Verse 4. O Yahuwah, who beareth rule, thou spakest at the beginning, when thou didst plant the earth, and that thyself alone, and commandest the people. Verse 5. And gave it a body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of thy hand, and did it breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made a living before you. Verse 6. And thou ledest him into paradise with thy right hand, and planted before ever the earth came forth, which thy right hand had planted before ever the earth came forth. And unto him thou gavest commandment to love thy way, which he transgressed, and immediately thou appointest death in him and in his generation, of whom came tribes, people, and kindred out of number.
So now, daughter, hold on, daughter. But look at verse 5 again, daughter, because I'm trying to bring some out in verse 5 and verse 7. Listen good in verse 5 again. Listen real good in verse 5, National Lord, especially the 6 anointed counts. Listen good in verse 5. What it say in verse 5?
Verse 5. And gave it a body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of thy hand, and didst breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made living before thee.
Now that's big. Now that's big talk right here. So now when mother read 2 verse 7, mother, read that. I'm just going to make sure the 6 anointed camps catch this. Genesis 2, verse 7 again. Now, with this verse 5, probably you caught verse 5 when he explained to the seer. Genesis 2, verse 7, mother. Read that again, mother, 2, verse 7 again, a little more audio.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And Yahuwah formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Okay, good. Now that's big talk right there. Now, when we go to Psalm 146 there, daughter Yahweh, when we go to Psalm 146, pick up verse 1. See, we kind of edify for us to know some things. See, it's some things you got to know, but you got to precept this Bible. And 146, 1 down to verse 4. Listen real good what daughter get ready to read. And 147, 146, 1, 2, 3, 4. Listen good what daughter getting ready to read, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the 46th chapter. Come on, daughter. Psalm 146, 1, 2, 3, 4. Listen good.
Psalms 146, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 reads, praise ye the YHWH Yahuwah. Praise the Yahuwah, O my soul. Verse 2. While I live, will I praise the Yahuwah. I will sing praises unto my Yahuwah while I have any being. Verse 3. Put not your trust in son of man, in whom there is no help. Verse 4. His breath goeth forth. He returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish.
Yeah. So you hear that? See, you go to these Christians' funerals and let them put a eulogy with you in open, and look what the preacher tell you. He say, yeah, your grandmama, your auntie, they all made it. They all told me they all made it. Oops, they all made it. So now spirit done got to him and told him that you better get yourself right because they all made it up in heaven. Now you see that? See what the angel just said in verse 4? Look what the angel said in 146 verse 4 to David. Read again, daughter.
Psalms 146, verse 4. 4 reads, his breath go forth. He returns to the earth. And in that very day, his thoughts perish.
In that very day, his thoughts perish. In that very day, when that man give up his last breath, when that woman give up her last breath, what happens to them according to verse 4?
Their thoughts perish.
Their thoughts perish. You see what the Bible's saying? And then you go get this man $1,000 to put a eulogy over your loved ones, and they're going to tell you that your loved ones just told them they all made it. And that very same time they give up that last breath, they don't remember nothing no more. When Yahuwah take that breath out of you, once you stop breathing, that all that is a body with no soul, interchangeable with the word spirit or breath. That is removed. That's what Yahuwah takes out of you. It's just like you making a clay man. A clay man that's sitting there with no soul. Once the breath is out of you, they don't have no thoughts about anything. Now we're going to precept that. See, we need to know these things. So then what we do, we get in a frenzy. We try to run and do. No, listen. Once the breath left the body of whoever, in that very day, read again, daughter, 146, verse 4, what happens?
Psalms chapter 146, verse 4. His breath go forth. He returned to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish.
In that very day, they thoughts perish. And what else perish? Tell me out, daughter. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. What else perish? What else happened? What else happened? Let's find out what happened. We're going to the 9th chapter. What else happened in that very same day? See, 9 verse 2. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 2. What happened, daughter? 9, verse 2.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrifice and to him that sacrifice not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that fears an oath.
Mm-hmm. Verse 5.
Verse 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, now wait a minute. Now what did he tell you to do now in verse 7? Now he did tell you something in verse 7. Go ahead.
Go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry mind. For Yahuwah now accepted thy work.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Verse 8, let thy garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment.
Mm-hmm. So, hold on, see, and now what we do, when we go to funerals, you got a lot of people dressed up in black, a lot of black. No. When you go, you're supposed to have your garments on, it's supposed to be white. And now they got the total opposite. You got them walking around with the undertaker suits on, on the party hats on and everything else. No, at a funeral, at that, you probably have white garments on. White garments on. Verse 9.
Verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of your life, of thy vanity, which he have given you under the sun, all the days of your life, of thy vanity. For that is your portion in this life, and in thy labor, which thou takest under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Verse, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether you go.
You know, you got some people say, well, I get my relief by going out to the grave. And I fly in to go to the grave, and I sit out there in the grave, and you know, like they had a little movie a long time ago called The Brother Poe's Liquor on the grave, and talk to the guy, no, you ain't talking to nobody. Because they don't have no understanding. They love, their hatred, and everything is past. We got to understand this thing. Yahuwah, let you know exactly how this works. So all this you getting comfort going off to the grave, now you want to spend a few more hours out here. Listen, they have no knowledge of you being there. They love for you is gone. If they hated you, it's gone. Everything that's on the table is gone. In that very same day, once you set that breath down, it's no longer in the body, so it will be nothing for you to articulate with that body with. The energy you're looking at, it do not have the breath called the components to have you to think back. Or when your preacher say, I can talk to the dead, you are a liar from the pits of the hell. In that very same day, the thoughts, and once that spirit, that breath, that soul is taken away from you, that's just a shell of a body. It's over with. And what happens, Mother D. F. Israel, in 12, verse 7 of Ecclesiastes, See, when Yahuwah snatched that life from that body would not communicate with you no more till Yahuwah put that life back in that body. And that life that came out of that body is what? 12 verse 7, Mother D of Israel, Ecclesiastes. 12 verse 7.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 reads, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Yahuwah who gave it."
So Yahuwah takes that spirit out of the body, it be in the palm of his hand. When you look at the body after the breath have shed down, the soul that are shed down, that body is, now come back again, daughter, 2nd Ezra, chapter 3, verse number 4 and 5. Listen again, 2nd Ezra 3, verse 4 and 5. Listen carefully.
2nd Ezra, chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, verse 4 reads, "O Yahuwah, who beareth rule, thou spakest at the beginning, when thou didst plant the earth, and that thyself alone, and commandest the people." Verse 5, "And gave it a body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of your hand, and didst breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made living before you."
So he was made a living soul. After Yahuwah put the breath in the man, then the man became a living soul. But when he take the breath out of a man become what? A mother, a daughter. What do man become once he take the breath out of you?
A dead soul.
A dead soul. A dead soul. Once the breath is removed from the body, you become a dead soul. And what happened in 146 verse 4? And once you become a dead soul, Psalm 146 verse 4, what happened next, daughter? Psalm 146 verse 4.
Psalm 146 verse 4 reads, "His breath go forth, and he returned to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish."
So you see, a lot of people be running behind the cactus, trying to go get the flowers, trying to get all this. You give them the flowers, all the hoopla, while they got the breath in them. Because once the breath is out of them, they have no remembrance, because Yahuwah got it in his hand. So that body is just there with no soul, no spirit, no breath, no memories of anything. And when they get to the ground, according to 9, verse 10, daughter Yahuwah, see, the sixth anointed camp, we must know these things. We got to have the proper information to help ourselves, to help others. In the ninth chapter, verse 10, what happened again, daughter Yahuwah?
Ecclesiastes.
9, verse 10.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go." Where thou goest.
You can't go get no wisdom from those that Yahuwah have removed the breath from. Once the breath is gone from them, you cannot get no wisdom from them. Now come back to 2nd Ezra, read verse 7. And mother, go find that book of Adam and Eve from me again. That book of Adam and Eve, go get that from me. I had it closed by the book of Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Verse 7 again, daughter. Second Ezra 3, verse 7.
Second Ezra chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, "And unto him Yahweh gave his commandment to love thy way, which he transgressed. And immediately thou appointedest death in him and in his generation, of whom came nations, tribes, people, and kindred out of number."
Mm-hmm. You said that once this man transgressed his way, all this happened to man, so man was not appointed to die. But until man broke his way, until man transgressed his way. What is that? What do you mean by it? What that mean? Precept of the Bible. Come on, daughter, let's go to, let's precept and find out in the 40th chapter. What do you mean? He said man was scheduled to live forever. But when man transgressed Yahweh's way, immediately death came upon them. What is his way? We're going to find out what his way. In 40 verse 8. What did man do in 40 verse 8? Now, Psalm, that daughter. 40 verse 8.
The book of Psalm, chapter 40, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, "I delight to do your will, O my Yahweh." Yeah. "Your law is within my mind."
So man transgressed Yahweh's way, so that means he transgressed his will. When Yahweh gave man order to keep his law, statutes, and the commandments, even in the garden, man transgressed against his way. That means the will he gave this man was keep the laws and the commandments, man. Don't let nothing interfere of you keeping the laws, statutes, and commandments, because when you do not do his laws, statutes, and commandments, you is transgressing his way. Let's get a precept on that, daughter. Matthew 7. And pick up verse 21. Matthew 7:21. His way and his will is interchangeable. So when you're not doing his will, you're not doing his way. When you're not doing his way, you're not doing his will. 7:21 of Matthew says what?
The book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Verse 21 reads, "Not everyone that said unto me, Yahweh, Yahweh, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven."
His will is his way. So we got to make sure one thing. Examine yourself. Are you doing Yahweh's will, his way? And that means that you're keeping laws, statutes, and the commandments. See, when you're keeping laws, statutes, and commandments, you're doing his will. Because our time is always. We don't know our time, but we do know right now is we're keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments. Huh? So remember one thing. His wills, the reason death is on every man, because Adam transgressed his will, his way, by not making a Bible decision when he told Adam what to do and what not to do. So when you make a decision, make sure the Bible supports your decision. Not your better half, not your preacher, not your poke. Make sure the Bible supports your next move. Then you're doing his will. That's the game changer. Mother D.F. Israel, give me, I know you got the Adam and Eve book, good. Give me, daughter Yahweh, give me the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 23. Let's read a little bit, and then we're going to take a look at that second book of Adam and Eve. So, daughter, what do it say that we can read in Wisdom of Solomon, the wisest man in the world? What did he say in the second chapter, verse 23? We're going to read a little bit until we get our point. Come on.
The Wisdom of Solomon. Say, chapter 2, verse 23. Verse 23 reads, "For Yahweh created man to be immortal and made him to be an image of his own eternity." Verse 24, "Nevertheless, through envy of the devil came death into the world, and they that do hold of his side do find it."
Mm-hmm. Is there any more there?
Nope.
Okay, read again, daughter, because that's good stuff you read. Now read verse 23 and 24 again, daughter.
The book, the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 reads, "For Yahweh created man to be immortal and made him to be an image of his own eternity." Verse 24, "Nevertheless, through envy of the devil came death into the world, and they that do hold of the devil's side do find death."
You see that? And anytime you go on, whenever time you go on with Satan program, all you got coming is death. I created this man to be immortal. This man was created to be immortal. I didn't create this man to die, but I put the stipulation to this man. Listen, man, you keep my laws, statutes, and commandments, man, that I got written in this book, that you got written in your brain, then you schedule for eternal life. You will not die. But if you break it, I'm going to kill you, my man. See? So there it is. So it was told plainly to Adam, listen, you keep my laws, statutes, and commandments. You was created immortal. You was not created to die. Read that verse again, dog. Read that one verse again. 2:23. Make it plain what he's saying in 2:23. Wisdom of Solomon.
Solomon, chapter 2, verse 23 reads, "For Yahweh created man to be immortal and made him to be an image of his own eternity."
He created man to live forever. We breathe into that man's nostril the breath of life. That man supposed to live forever, but he transgressed because the law, statutes, and commandments according to daughter Yaakov, according to Romans 7, verse 14, we talk about the law, statutes, and commandments. According to Romans 7:14, let's talk about it, daughter.
Okay, the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 14 reads, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin."
The law is spiritual. So the law, statutes, and the commandment is spiritual. They not done away with. Remember, when I remove the breath of man, he loses all thoughts. Law, statutes, and the commandments, he have no thoughts. My law, statutes, and commandments is spiritual. You can't have no breakings on it. It's not done away with. You can't do away with the laws. That's the reason Yahweh quoted in the 19th chapter, when a man asks, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And he told him. Matter of fact, he made a final statement, but I'm struggling right now, daughter, in the book of Luke. I'm struggling right now, but he made a final statement, daughter, behind that. See, the law, statutes, and the commandments, he came to remove his part about what he said he was going to do. But when the preachers teach you about you ain't got to keep no law, you up on the grace, that is suicide to him, and you fall for that. The law is spiritual. It's not done away with. You can't kill a spirit. The breath of man, once it leaves man, it goes back to Yahweh. Then he have that breath in his hand. So listen to what he says with a precept in Luke chapter 10, daughter Yahweh, and 25 and 26. Here go the learned Christian man. The learned Christian man came to Yahweh the Son, and let's see what he says that we can read in Luke 10, 25, and 26. This is called a learned Christian man. What does a learned Christian man say?
The book of Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25 reads, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26. And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou?
Yeah. Then look what he told him. He said, again, what must I do, master, good master, to have eternal life? He said, all you got to do is read the law. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. If you want to know about eternal life, just read the law. Keep the law, statutes, and the commandments. That's how you have eternal life. See, now you go and pay all these big institutions all this money. And if you want eternal law, life, just keep the law. That's all he said. Keep the law, statutes, and commandments. Are you keeping up? Then you going to get damnation. Precept, daughter. We go on to 1 Peter chapter 2. And he made a profound statement, daughter Yahweh. Look what he says here. So now, if you want to tell peoples, what must I do to get eternal life, then keep the law. That's all you got to do. Law, statutes, and commandments. You know what this man told you to do? Friday night, Saturday night, keep the Sabbath day. He tell you in the 15th chapter, verse 37 through 40, make sure you got your ribbon of blue on with your fringes. That's the sign between you and him, the Sabbath day, and them fringes. Keep the law. Look what it say here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Let's read down to verse 23, that daughter, Yahweh. Look what it say. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 20, chapter 2, verse 21, 22, and 23. Listen to this, daughter.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. Verse 21 reads, "For even hereunto were you called, because Yahweh, the Son of Yahweh the Father, also suffers for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow him, his steps." Verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Verse 23, "Who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously."
So all we got to do, daughter, is do what again? Follow who? What he said? Do or follow? What he said about this follow again? What he said about this word called follow?
Okay.
What he said about that word called follow?
Verse
follow
20,
what?
Wait a minute. Follow where I'm putting it was down, found him. Okay, verse 23. who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously.
Mm-hmm. No, but he said something about a father. What do you mean about, let's do a little bit of that.
For even hereunto were you called, because Yahweh also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow him, his steps.
Okay, good. What is his steps, our daughter, in Matthew's 27 verse 50? What is his steps? Matthew 27 verse 50, what is his steps?
Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 reads. Yahweh, the son of Yahweh the Father, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what happened next in verse 57? Let's read a little bit. So as soon as he gave up that breath, right? Then what happened next? What happened next when the sun started setting in verse 57? What happened?
Matthew chapter 27:7 reads, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Yahweh, the son of Yahweh the Father's follower. Verse 28. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Yahweh, the son of Yahweh the Father. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Verse 6.
And what happened next?
And laid it in his own new tomb, when he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed.
And what did he do?
He rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed.
He went on about his business. You know why he went on about his business? Let's get a precept of why he went on about his business. Come on, Mother D up Israel. Why did he do that? Mother D up Israel. Let's go back to the 9th chapter with Ecclesiastes. Why did he do that? Why he begged for the body? And once you see the body, immediately wrap that body up, take him to the sepulchre, put him in there, and went on by his business. Why did he do that? Let's go back to Ecclesiastes and see why he did that. Why did he do that? We're going back to Ecclesiastes, Mother, and we're going to find out why did he do that. We want to know why did he do that. And Ecclesiastes is going to tell us why did he do that. It's going to tell us when we preach up the Bible, why did he do that. Let's find out why he did that, Mother. Let's see. Can we find out why did he do that? I'm struggling right now, Mother. I'm trying to find out why did he do that. Why did he do that? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7. Let's see if we find out from the wisest man in the world, why did he do that? Why? 9, verse number 7.
Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7 reads, go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry mind, for Yahweh now accepts your works.
You see that? So Mother, why did he go his way? According to what we read now, verse 7.
Yahweh accepted your works.
He don't accept your work. So Yahweh don't accept your work. He already knew how long you gonna be here. When you come in this world and when you leave this world, your works have been accepted. King, same book. 8:15.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8,
verse 16. Then I commanded Morris, because a man has no better thing, Abinshon, than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which Yahweh giveth him under the sun.
Oh. See, Yahweh appointed man, woman, so much time. He appointed so much time, and you're not going past what he got on the table. He said, the reason why Joseph of Arimathea, a land that's in Judah, did his part, because he know that the father had accepted the son's work. Then the son made a profound statement, mother, in the 17th chapter 1 through 5 of St. John. Then the son said something. Just before he was getting ready, he made a profound statement in the 17th chapter 1 through 5. Now, in fact, daughter, you pick that up 1 through 5. I'm going to get into Adam and Eve book real quick before time get away. 17th chapter 1 through 5. While he was hanging on that tree, something he said, daughter of Yahweh, in the 17th chapter 1 through 5, what did he say that we all can read together?
St. John chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads, these words spake YHWH Yahweh, the son of Yahweh, the father, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify you. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true Yahweh, the Father, and Yahweh, his Son, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified you on this earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
You see that? See, once you have finished your course, then understand something. When Yahweh check you down, you have finished your course. Go your way. Because that life is in the hands of Yahweh now, the breath of that body. And when Yahweh returns, he going, wherever you at, he going to take that same and put it back in that same body. Boom. And that body going to live again. That much power we got. So that same body that the breath was taken out of, the same body Yahweh got in his hand. And at a time appointed, he's going to take that same breath and place it back into that man, and that man or woman going to raise up again. But that man or woman would not raise up under no circumstances until he released that breath of life back in that man or woman. See? So we need to understand this good stuff. Yahweh have that breath in the palm of his hand. Now, if you want to doze of the seers of old, he'll place that breath back into somebody else. But in the same token, all of the Abraham, the Isaac, the Jacobs, all them, the breath that's out of them will be placed back in another soul. But at the time appointed, that same Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses and all that, the breath will be put back in them, and they're coming back up again. So you're going to see people walk around in the spirit of these peoples today. But that breath of life Yahweh got in his hand, and you cannot wake that person up. That person right there is a dead soul. If they have no love, no hate, no remembrance of anything up under the sun until Yahweh breathed into that nostril, that the breath of life, and that same man going to wake up. Oh, see? That's the power of this man. So we got to understand death is on man. Man was created to be immortal, but he broke the laws. So now when we read from Mother D.F. Israel, 5 verse 12 of Romans, we supposed to be understanding what he's telling when Paul goes to Rome and tell the Israelites in 5 verse 12. What did he say in 5 verse 12? Mother D.F. Israel.
Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Therefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has upon all men, for that all have sinned.
So, you see that? When Adam sinned, death passed upon all men. Every man going to taste this thing. So now we got to understand, okay, we know this is going to happen. So now, what did he tell Adam, daughter Yahweh in where did he tell Adam in Genesis 3? What did he tell Adam? What did Yahweh tell Adam, daughter Yahweh in 3? What did he say to Adam? He said something to Adam, daughter Yahweh. He looked him eyeball to eyeball and said something to him in 3:19. What did he say?
The book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return unto the ground. For out of it was you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return.
Mm-hmm, good. Now, mother, let's go to the second book of Adam and Eve, page 65. And let's see, did that happen? He told what was going to happen, didn't he? Now we're going to follow up on this right here now. And on page 65, chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and 3, mother. What it say in second book of Adam and Eve, page 65, verse 1, 2, and 3? What it say? Hey, daughter, you got your book of Adam and Eve, daughter? Hey, daughter, Yahweh, you got your book of Adam and Eve?
Yeah, let me get it.
Okay, go get it. All right, great. Come on, daughter. Come on, mother. Come on, mother. Chapter 8, 1, 2, and 3, start reading.
Okay.
Chapter 8, 1, 2, and 3. Page 65. Second book, Ebony, chapter 8, 1, 2, and 3. What is it, mother?
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1. When our father Adam saw that his end was near, he called his son Seth, who came to him in the cave of treasure. And he said unto him, verse 2, O Seth, my son, bring me your children and your children that I may share my blessings on them ere I die. Verse 3. When Seth heard these words from his father, Adam, he went from him, shed a flood of tears over his face, and gathered together his children and his children's children and brought them to his father Adam.
Verse 7.
O Seth, my son, thou knowest this world, that it is full of sorrow and of weariness, and thou knowest all that has come upon us from our trials in it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, page 66. Page 66, come on. And I, therefore, now command thee.
I therefore now command you in these words to keep innocent, to be pure and just, and trusting in Yahweh, and lean mm-hmm. not to this discourse of Satan,
nor to
the preparation in which he will show himself to you.
Is he keep an eye on Satan? Satan will come. He'll come like a Coca-Cola bottle, or he'll come like a washboard stomach. He'll come with 14 shoes on, and he'll come all kind of ways. But watch yourself now. He'll tell you, watch yourself now. Verse 8.
But keep the commandments that I give you this day.
Yeah.
Then gave the same to your son Enos, and let Enos give it to his son Cain, and Cain to his son
Mahalalel, so that
this commandment abides firm among all your children.
Yeah, good. Verse 9.
O Seth, my son, the moment
the what?
I am dead, the
wait
moment.
Wait a minute, mother. He said, when?
The moment.
Go ahead.
I am dead.
Yeah.
Take my body. And wind it up with myrrh, and see, and me here in this cave of treasury, in which are all these tokens which Yahweh gave us from the garden.
And go about your business. So now you see why Joseph of Arimathea put him in the cave and went about his business. Because he understood the scriptures. He said, look here now. He said, O Seth, my son, the moment I am dead, take ye my body, wound it up. That means wrap me up from head to toe. But make sure, before you put me in there, make sure you got the myrrh up inside of my wrapping. You got the olive and all the good stuff that goes in, all of the dressings inside. Make sure all the stuff is inside of my wrappings. And after you get everything that I need, that I'm supposed to have, I'm instructing you on my burial. Take me to the cave, put me up in the cave. No, it ain't no box. It ain't no box to put him in. It ain't no going by $5,000 worth of a casket, $5,000 to $1,000 casket. So when you go put him in them $5,000 casket to a $1,000 casket, the minute that undertaker put that casket in the ground and you leave, he's pulling that casket right back up and take you and put you in a box and put you back in that ground. And take that casket and clean it up and put it back and sell it again. So you see what you did? Now you have $10,000. No. Yep. He said, immediately, do this for me. And after you, and leave me here in the cave and go about your business. See that? So that was just, remember, Adam is Yahweh's son. Adam is Yahweh's son. Adam explained to his son exactly what you do after burial. After you shed it down with the breath, immediately you wrap them up and take them on in. Now, daughter, we're going over here and on page 67, daughter Yahweh, and let's see. What did he do and verse 3. No, let's read verse 1. Let's read 9, verse 1 on page 6, 7, daughter Yaqua. Listen to this. And tell me what will happen in verse 1. What happened in verse 1? Tell me what happened. Verse 1.
The nine, book of one. Alan, chapter 9, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, when Adam had ended his commandment to Seth, his limbs were loosened. His hands and feet lost all power. His mouth became dumb, and his tongue ceased altogether to speak. He closed his eyes and gave up the spirit.
You hear that, daughter? That means all that hoopla and all that right there, all that, that's why you got to be strengthened in the Bible. After Adam died, what all did he lose, daughter? According to verse 1, what did all Adam lose in verse 1?
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 9, verse 1. His limbs were loosed. His hand and feet lost all power. His mouth became dumb. And his tongue ceased altogether to speak. He closed his eyes and gave up the spirit.
That means Yahweh, his father, had taken that breath from him. Yahweh had removed that breath from him. Then that body you was looking at right now is no longer have no remembrance of anything, can't communicate with you, it can't communicate with itself. And you, and ain't nobody turn over in their grave doing nothing. No, all that is over with. There it is right there. The first man, Adam, everything is over with. Read verse 2. Now, what happened in verse 2?
Verse 2. But when his children saw that he was dead, they threw themselves over him, men and women and old and young, weeping.
What are they doing, dog?
They threw themselves over him, men and women.
Doing what?
Old, young,
what are they doing?
Weeping, crying.
All right, what happened in verse 5?
Verse 5. Then Seth wound him up well and embalmed him with plenty of sweet spices from the sacred trees and from the righteous mountain. And he laid his body on the eastern side of the inside of the cave, the side of the incense, and placed in front of him a lampstand kept burning.
And set wound him up and embalmed him, not with the stuff they do in these funeral homes. He embalmed them with what again? What was he embalmed with, daughter, before me putting that wrap up? What was he embalmed with? They put embalming fluid in you, blow you up like a balloon and everything. They do all kinds of. But what did he embalm his father with, daughter?
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 9, verse 5. Then Seth wound him up well and embalmed him with plenty of sweet sacred trees from the righteous mountain.
You see that? You see the difference? You see the difference in Christianity and the Bible? It's a whole lot different. Now, Mother Dear of Israel, let's go to the 12th chapter and pick up verse 2, 1 and 2. 12, 1 and 2. What did it say? 12, 1 and 2.
In the book of Adam and Eve.
Yep, same book, 12, 1 and 2.
For Adam and Eve, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Then Seth, the just, called his son Enos and Cain, son of Enos, and my son of Canaan, as said I took down. Verse 2. As my end is near, I wish to build a roof over the altar on which gift.
You see that? So you see what he said? See what he said, though? Mother? He said, my time is at hand too. Now this is Adam's boy. Seth. He said, now my time is ended. He said, now time for me to settle down. Read verse 12 in the closing statement, Mother. We'll get back on tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Verse 12 in the closing statement. Verse 12.
After having said this, Seth blessed Enoch, his firstborn son, and commanded him bitterly to minister in purity before the body of our father Adam all the days of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Then also to go at times to the altar which he, Seth, had built, and he commanded him to feed his people in righteousness and judgment mm-hmm. and purity all the days of his life.
So we're supposed to feed our people in what, Mother? Righteousness. We try to tell you what the Bible's saying, not the emotional part about it, the righteous part about it. Now, Seth is on the table. He took care of Adam. He on the table. So we got to feed our people in righteousness. You got to know what happens after death and what you're supposed to do in the meantime to take care of the business of death. Close statement tomorrow in class at 2 o'clock. Come on.
Verse 8 down. But Yahweh commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Yahweh the Son died for us. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh the Father by the death of his son, Yahweh. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh the Father through our Yahweh the Son, whom we have now received the atonement. Hallelujah.
Catch tomorrow in class, 2 o'clock. Now, daughter Yahweh, we're gonna wrap it up on page 69, read 13 and 14. Let's see, do anything change? No. Yahweh the Son is the one gave his son Adam what he's supposed to do, and we're supposed to follow his steps. Now we're gonna read the conclusion of the top part of 7 day, verse 13 and 14. What is the Yahweh in the closing statement? Come out.
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 reads, the limbs of Seth were loosened. His hands and feet lost all power. His mouth became dumb and unable to speak. And he gave up the spirit and died the day after his 920th year, 27th day of the month of Enoch being then 20 years old. Verse 14. Then they wound up carefully the body of Seth and embalmed him with sweet spices and laid him in the cave of treasures on the right side of his father's Adam's body. And they mourned for him 40 days. They offered gifts for him as they had done for our father Adam.
You see that? See it? Same thing. He got no more speech, and they didn't ask for nobody no casket, no box. They put the spices in that wrapped them up, and laid the red naked powder at them, mourned for them 40 days, and there go your bones. You can mourn your 40 days, get your 40 days, get your 80 days, get your 120 days. But remember, here are the rules. Wrap them up, put them down, and go on about your business. Mourn for them. Mourn for them 40, 80, 120, get it out the way. But it ain't going to change what the Bible telling us to do. That's why we got to be strengthened in the word of Yahuwah. It is right there. No, it's no casters. It's no in-between. Ain't nobody doing no whole lot of talking. Ain't no 20 preachers up there telling you about how I remember when. It's no after-pass. You go somewhere and now they're going to eat chicken, rice, and beans, and hog. And, you know, the Christian church hog. None of that. Mourn, go on about your business. There's right there. Adam said, Yahuwah said, be you followers of me. So there's right there. Closing statement, daughter. You on the clock. Take your time. Top five of the seventh day. Catch you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Come on.
Read this prayer in the Forgotten Books of Eden, the original. It says the original of Yahuwah's prayer said to be used about 150 years before our Yahuwah. Our Father who art in heaven, be gracious unto us, O Yahuwah, our Yahuwah. Hallowed be your name, and let the remembrance of you be honored in heaven above and upon earth here below. Let your kingdom reign over us now and forever. The righteous men of old said, remit and forgive unto all men whatsoever they have done unto me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil thing. For thine is the kingdom, and thou shalt reign in glory and honor forever and forever. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Excellent. From our elders, from our elder mothers, from the sisters, the brothers, and those on the international side, remember one thing. Our job is to show you what the Bible is saying on whatever subject matter is. That is the job of a seer in 10 verse 1. A seer's job is to instruct his people pertaining to anything of life and death in this book. So you understand exactly how to walk and talk and live, because everybody going to taste death that was born of one man. As Adam tastes death, you're going to taste death. Those seer going to taste death. But we have to be clear, we know exactly what we're supposed to be doing when our loved ones taste death too. So we're going to taste death. We follow the same steps that's written in the book. Until we meet again tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I said to all on the international side, hallelujah, wah, hallelujah, wah, hallelujah, wah, shalom.